This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَدَعْ عَنْكَ هُمُومَكَ لِمَا تَيَقَّنْتَ مِنْ فِرَاقِهَا. And just take precaution against all of the different concerns and occupations that you will need to become engaged in and be forced to undertake. Right? How would you get rid of that? How would you avoid that? Just لِمَا تَيَقَّنْتَ مِنْ فِرَاقِهَا. Because you have absolute conviction that eventually something's going to happen to it. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue with our series on Ibn Ata'illah's Kitab al-Hikam, the Book of Wisdom. We are on page 139, which is wisdom number 228. Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari rahimahullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, he says, in raghabatka al-bidayatu zahadatka al-nihayat in da'aka ilayha zahirun nahaka anha batinun in raghabatka al-bidayat zahadatka al-nihayat إن دعاك إليها ظاهر نهاك عنها باطن. A bit complex when you listen to it on the outset. However, a very, very clear discussion, very, very clear understanding of what's going on here. Ibn Ata'illah says that if beginnings make you desirous, endings will make you abstinent. What is that referring to? If the beginning of it makes you desirous and happy and joyful and excited, the ending of it will make you abstinent, sorrowful, in state of loss. Then he says, if their exteriors invited you, their interiors will hold you back. If the outside of it has invited you because it looked so wonderful, when you get to the depth of it, you'll understand that this is not very exciting, and it's not very good, and it's a source of loss for you. The interiors will hold you back. What is he speaking about? He is speaking about the thing which we are in right now. It is the dunya that we're in, which is a necessary place for us to be. There's no way that we could have an existence without being in the dunya. Maybe the Hurul Ain, they're one of the few creations that get to be alive, but not have to go through the dunya, along with the wildanum mukhalladun. The angels, at least those that, depends on the alam of the angels, whether you consider that part of the dunya or not, probably not. But we have to be part of this dunya, so it's a necessary journey that we have to undertake, and this is exactly what he's talking about. If the beginnings of this world make you desirous and excited when you see all of these things, the endings will make you abstinent. When things wear out, when things die, when we lose things, when people depart, when things are lost, then eventually they give you a lot of sorrow. The exterior part of it, the outer part of it, excites you. But then when you look at the inside of it and all the turmoil and chaos and difficulty and everything else that it brings, then that is what will hold you back. That will then be like, why did I indulge so much? I should have indulged in something that would have allowed me to have a more permanent benefit. So essentially saying that the dunya will never give you permanent benefit, something which is pure dunya. But of course, what we're looking to get benefit from, that is also in the dunya, but that is something that's related to the hereafter. So anything that is related purely to this world until we die, until the end of this world, that is what he's speaking about. And anything that is in this dunya, but is linked to the hereafter, the reason it's done, the reason it's attained, acquired, undertaken, for the sake of the hereafter, then although it's part of the world, it will continue to benefit you because you'll be able to take it with you into the hereafter. Whereas anything you do for this world only stops when we leave, or it stops even before that. For some people it stops even before that. There's somebody who rules a country, rules a people, 30 years of their life, 40 years of their life, 50 years of their life, and then they're deposed. And they die in misery. Or they die in hiding. Or they die fleeing. Either way, that's an extreme example. So that's why our commentator says that any kind of friendship, any kind of connection that is not permanent, that's what this is talking about. This is talking about all of those pleasures and all of those enjoyments and all of those positions or achievements that don't last forever. For example, if you are becoming respectable and you want to gain respect because of the wealth that you have, or because of the position that you hold, or because of your family background, because you come from a certain place, or anything else that is purely related to the dunya, then right at the beginning it's very enjoyable. It is sweet. It's fascinating. Because your nafs enjoys it. It feels good. It tastes good. And the experience is good. However, eventually, it usually ends up, at some level or the other, being very, very bitter, because you lose that thing. No longer the same kind of things continue, no longer the same respect continues. You have to keep on your feet to be on there. For some people who are social media, they are heroes today, there are social media influences today, but now they just can't carry on. It's too much work to carry on, to keep feeding that same kind of obsession. And then after that you lose. And ultimately, if with nothing else, then by death. With death, it'll be finished. And there's nothing that you can take with it. There's nothing that you can take with it. And in many cases, it gets left behind with just humiliation and a loss. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نِعْمَةِ الْمُرْضِعَةِ وَبِئْسَةِ الْفَاطِمَةِ. It's so easy to get a child to feed usually. When you start nursing and breastfeeding the child, it's very easy. It's much easier to get them to do that than to wean them off. Weaning them off takes a while. There's lots of misery and crying. There's a lot of upset, at least in the child, to get them off. It takes a while. But it's very easy to get them started, relatively speaking. So he's saying that if you're going to be encouraged by this kind of association and closeness, which whose sweetness eventually disappears, because remember, everything in this world eventually comes to an end, gets old. I mean, these phones, they come old every year. New ones come out every year because the last one is not good enough. I mean, subhanAllah, it's once a year. I mean, they would try it twice a year if they could, but people are dumb enough to buy it every year, right? And I think they're not dumb enough to buy twice a year, so that's why they're not producing. Otherwise, they'd probably produce twice a year, just add 1 megapixel on and give you the next phone, right? But essentially, that's what it is. It's just so silly. It's just so silly. And now we know it's so silly, right? But in the beginning, it wasn't so silly, was it? Now we realize, because everything comes to an end. Everything comes to an end. The great companies these were before, they don't have that same luster anymore. They can't keep innovating. There's a limit. That's why he's saying that the beginning is very, very sweet. But then the bitterness of the end will eventually cause you to drift apart. So if you're going to be deceived by the apparent nature of its greenery and its freshness and its vitality and its sleekness, then consider that there's always at the end of it something lost. Because if you buy a beautiful phone and it breaks, how bad do you feel, especially when the screen cost you £200 to fix? Before, you could buy phones for less than how much it cost you the screens. In fact, you could buy phones for the price of a case, for a good case today. Where's it going? That's not how much inflation has gone. It's just riding on people's source of joy. That's what it's riding on. Right? So فَاعْتَبِرْ بِبَاطِنِ حَسْرَتِهَا. Then he says, if what excites you is when you get something new, then just try to avoid, try to think of how it's going to be when it finishes off. So that will allow you to be more tempered and particular in what you do. That will allow you to be more particular in what you do. Like, just think of the end of it. So then we weigh ourselves out, we measure ourselves, we are particular about whether we really want it or not, whether we really should indulge or not. So always think of the endings of something. Abu Ali al-Thaqafi, Shaykh Abu Ali al-Thaqafi, radiyallahu anhu, says, أُفٌ لِأَشْغَالِ الدُّنْيَا إِذَا أَقْبَلَتْ وَأُفٌ مِّنْ حَسْرَتِهَا إِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ. He says, woe be to all of these occupations of the dunya when they come at you. And also woe be to the loss of it when they disappear. He's understood, so he's like, both of it is a difficulty, both of it is a challenge. So woe be to both of them. That's why he says that the intelligent one never relies on anything of this dunya. Especially when it comes and he knows it's a fitna, he knows it's just a temptation. So he doesn't rely on it. And he knows that when he's gonna lose it, like a position, for example, that you really want, or something or somebody you really want, is gonna be a source of great misery and loss for you. That's why a poet says, وَمَنْ يَحْمَدِ الدُّنْيَا لِشَيْءٍ يَسُرُّهُ فَسَوْفَ لَعَمْرِي عَنْ قَرِيبٍ يَلُومُهَا إِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ حَسْرَةً وَإِنْ أَقْبَلَتْ كَانَتْ كَثِيرًا حُمُومُهَا. It's not easy. For example, you get a beautiful phone and you spend huge amounts of money on it, and then the glass breaks and it drops. You have to spend a huge amount of money. That's a hasra. Right? Something else goes wrong maybe sometimes. Then again, you have to spend money on it and you feel bad about it as well. So not to say you don't get anything, you get something if you need it, it's just part of the nature of the world, but just don't get so excited. That's what it's saying. Use things and be functional in life. So he says, whoever praises the dunya because of anything that excites him, by my life, meaning he's swearing an oath, right? He's saying they will very soon start criticizing it. When it disappears, it's going to be a source of loss for you. But when it came, it still brought a lot of occupation for you. You still have to manage it. You still have to do lots for it. Somebody I know, he brought a really nice car. He purchased a very, very nice car. It's one of the most stolen cars. He had to put two trackers in there. He had to put a camera outside his house to make sure that, you know, it's wonderful to have the car, but then look at all of the humoom, all of the concerns along with it, that it might be stolen, it might be stolen, right? It might not be here tomorrow. Somebody might scratch it. Actually, when I moved to London, back to London in America, I had a relatively new car, but we had parking spaces and everything in the area I lived in. I came to London, I checked all the cars, every single car I saw on the street in Hackney at that time. I haven't checked in Ilford here, or I haven't checked in this area at least. Every car had a little scratch or something. And I said, what's the point? What's the point of buying a new car? It's going to get scratched and then you're going to feel bad. You buy a nice, sleek new car and then somebody, slight scratch, and for that you have to have the whole thing painted sometimes. What an effort. I thought, forget it, we'll just get second-hand car. I mean, to have a brand new car, you need to have a nice garage, a nice place to park. You're scared to take it to places. I was just in India, and in India, the streets are small. So the brother I'm with, he wants to buy a Cadillac because he needs a large car. I said, please don't buy a Cadillac. How are you going to drive in these small streets? Plus, it's a status symbol. Everybody knows that you got lots of money then. I mean, he's a functional guy. He just wants it for that. But I said, no, that's the wrong car. Get another car. Ali karramallahu wajha. He wrote to Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu once, to give him an example of what he thought the dunya was. Ali radiyallahu anhu has many, many, many statements regarding the dunya. He knew the dunya very, very well. And there's a number of statements that have been attributed to him regarding his discourse with the dunya. So in this case, he wrote to Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu. He says, مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ الْحَيَّةِ. The dunya is like a snake. Why? لَيِّنٌ لَمْسُهَا. You know, snakes, they're very sleek, very smooth snake skin, if you've got the bravery to do that, you know, to feel the skin, it's so smooth and sleek, right? قَاتِلٌ سُمُّهَا. But its poison is a killer, right? That's how bad it is. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ فِيهَا. So avoid anything that excites you of the dunya. Avoid anything, meaning be tempered about it. Avoid anything that excites you of the dunya. لِقِلَّةِ مَا يَصْحَبُكَ مِنْهَا. Why should you not get so excited? Because so less of it is going to come with you and benefit you in the hereafter. That's if you do it for the dunya, then you're not going to be able to do much of that. You're not going to be able to benefit much, because nothing is going to come with you to the hereafter to benefit you there when you're going to need it. ودع عنك همومك لما تيقنت من فراقها. And just take precaution against all of the different concerns and occupations that you will need to become engaged in and be forced to undertake. Right? How would you get rid of that? How would you avoid that? Just لما تيقنت من فراقها. Because you have absolute conviction that eventually something's going to happen to it. So on one of the travels, somebody took me to one of the best cloth shops there. And they showed me the cloth, which is merino wool. Very fine merino wool. I said, how much is it? I got an understanding of it. It's between 190 to 250 thread count. Either 100% merino wool or with 20% silk or something else. When you feed it, it's amazing. A meter of it, you know how much it, a meter of it cost £200. And I need 5 meters. There were cheaper ones. They start from £20. A meter to 100 to £200, depending on the thread count. And he's like, buy it. I said, no. You have to dry clean it. Who's going to take it to a dry cleaner? The cloth itself will cost £1,000, and then you get it sewn. It's going to be £1,000 jubba that you wear, you know, when it's cold. But then you have to take it to the dry cleaners all the time and pay like what, £10-15 for that. I mean, it is £1,000 jubba, but it's just a hassle. What's the point of all of that? And then if something happens to it, that's £1,000 jubba gone. Imagine somebody ends it with the wrong. Yes, if you need it, you're going to be in that kind of a climate, you need it. Bismillah, and you got the money, then it's khalas, it's fine. Right? There's a lot of stuff in this dunya. For those of you who get excited about these things, for some people this is their normal stuff, they make so much money, it's their normal stuff, for them it's okay. But for the rest of us who don't make that, or the majority, it's an ultimate luxury. You can have it if you need it, but ultimately what's the point of it? You're then going to be concerned how somebody looks after it, where it's kept, place, and so on and so forth. Unless you just don't care about anything. It doesn't matter how much it is, you just let it go to waste. And that's just a bad idea. So the dunya has scales. The dunya has options for anybody. If you really want to indulge in the world, the dunya has options. So don't get too excited. If it's functional, you need it, bismillah, go ahead and get it. You just need to be able to justify it. Then he says, وَكُنْ أَسَرَّ مَا تَكُونَ فِيهَا أَحْزَنَ مَا تَكُونُ مِنْهَا. Be as happy as you can in even the saddest moments. Just do the best that you can of this world and enjoy it to the best of your ability. فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّمَا اِطْمَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ سُرُورِهَا أَشْخَصَ إِلَىٰ مَكْرُوهِهَا. Because the thing about the dunya is that anytime you get too excited about something of the dunya that's purely of this dunya, eventually there's going to be some difficulty that will come in there and it will bother you. It will take you off your excitement. It will disturb your life. Another statement, this is all about criticizing the dunya right now. Right? That's this whole discourse is about that. Right? Regardless, the dunya, remember, it's a necessary place for us to be. We can't go to Jannah without the dunya. Right? You have to come to this dunya to get to Jannah. So it's a necessary place to be, just telling us, stay away from the bad of it. الدُّنْيَا أَحْلَامُ مَنَامٍ. The dunya is the dreams of a sleeping person. That's what the dunya is, when you get excited about what you want and what you don't want. وَسُرُورُهَا ظِلُّ غَمَامٍ. And yes, it has happiness in there, but the happiness is just like the shade of a cloud. It's not like the shade of a building where you know it's going to stay for a certain amount. It's the shade of a cloud, that the cloud can disappear and the shade is gone. أَحْدَاثُهَا سِهَامٍ. The various different incidents that take place, they're like arrows fired at you. وَفِتْنَتُهَا طَوَامٍ. Meaning it's various different temptations and challenges. They're like waves that will start coming at you. May Allah protect us. Sometimes a person has a challenge that comes, and you think you're just dealing with that challenge, and then another challenge comes out of that. And then another one, and it just seems like multiple challenges, one above the other, and you don't know where to go. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any of that kind of stuff happening. وَسَمَهَ اللَّهُ بِالْوَحْشَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has characterized it with a place as being a place of estrangement. I mean, not a place of comfort. Yes, we do gain comfort, but it's not the real comfort that we want. You could get a lot more comfort if you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and still be in the world. So even though there'll be difficulties, your heart will be comfortable. Just the physical body being comfortable because I've got very soft garment on, wonderful clothing, wonderful food to eat, that's not comfort. That's outer comfort. That's not really inner comfort, where a person is relaxed regardless of the situation. Because we all go through troubles and difficulties. So where does everything that we attain, where does that take us? What does that give us when we have difficulty? I'd rather be like the awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. They never fear anything, whatever happens, even though it seems like it's so difficult, that what they're going through. Then he says, وَقَرَنَهَا بِالْفَجَائِئِ وَالدَّهْشَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connected this world to various different tragedies and astonishments. So there's going to be things that will happen in the world that will astonish you, surprise you, take you off your feet. And there'll be calamities. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the dunya, Ya dunya, تَشَدَّدِي عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِي. Be difficult on my friends. Don't give them an easy ride. Let them have difficulty. But تَوَسَّعِي عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِي. Open yourself up. Expand yourself for my enemies. Make it easier for them to get. Because that's what they want. Let them focus on that. Let them enjoy that. But be difficult on my awliya, my friends, because I don't want them to enjoy the dunya. When they try to get something and then there's difficulty, it makes them feel that, no, I should be careful. It's not really what I need. Maybe I shouldn't have it. Maybe I shouldn't pursue it. Maybe I should just suffice and be satisfied with what I have. Then he says, فَمَن نَظَرَ الدُّنْيَا بِعَيْنِ الْإِنصَافِ. Anybody who properly looks at the dunya with an eye of justice, كَفَاهُ مِنْهَا أَقَلُّ الْأَوْصَافِ. He'd be then just, it'll be sufficient for him just to see some of the basic characteristics of the dunya as to the nature of the world, the temporal nature of the world. إِذْ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مَحْمُودٌ. There's nothing praiseworthy in the dunya. You say, no, there's lots of stuff praiseworthy, but all of that praiseworthy stuff is related to the hereafter. There's nothing of just pure dunya that's not related to the hereafter that is praiseworthy. إِلَّا وَقَابَلَهُ شَيْءٌ مَذْمُونٌ. In fact, what he's saying is that this dunya is full of contrasts. Anything that you see that is going to make you excited and happy and that is praiseworthy, there's always going to be a contrast of it, something that will juxtapose it, that is going to be undesirable. So there's lots of contrasting emotions that you're going to experience in your life, because that is what this dunya is about. If you're happy one day, you might be sad the next. If you're excited one day, the next day you're demoted. For example, there's wealth, excites you, but your wealth can disappear, you may lose all of it. You may be excited by your youth, vitality, good looks, freshness of vigor. But then after that, it's going to end up with evil old age. It's going to end up with a receding of all that youthfulness, and it's going to set into senility. Likewise, if you have good health, you could become sick. If you have excitement, you could become sad. If you have honor, you could become degraded and humiliated. And of course, finally, out of all things, you have life, it will eventually end with death. That's the nature of everything in this world. The macro level, the dunya is going to end. So on a micro level, everything perishes. That's why you have to keep changing these microphones. Nothing lasts forever. It either gets rusted, it either gets slow, it gets used up, it either expires, it either perishes, or it breaks. Because ultimately everything has to go from this dunya. That's why I don't feel bad when something breaks. That's the nature of the dunya. Once you know that, and when something breaks, okay, khalas, it's broken. Things don't have to break. Meaning, not every day. The author, the commentator says that there was a very righteous wali of Allah, Sayyidi Qasim ibn Sabi, from the tribe of Banu Sa'id. Some of the leaders at that time wanted to harm him. So he ran to a righteous person. And what he was given was a poem, which gave him the lesson that he needed to learn. إِذَا مَا رَمَاكَ الدَّهْرُ يَوْمًا بِنَكْبَةٍ فَهَيِّئْ لَهُ صَبْرًا وَوَسِّعْ لَهُ صَدْرًا لأن تصاريف الزمان كثيرة فيوما ترى عسرا ويوما ترى يسرا. This is the nature of the world. Somebody has encapsulated in this poetry. He says that whenever fate strikes up, whenever fate, predestination, the time, strikes up on any day a catastrophe for you, whenever a catastrophe comes at you, then prepare for it patience. From before, you need to prepare for it patience, and also open your heart up to it. Because the twists of time are many. There's going to be many, many that will come. And if you're going to get really upset at every setback, at every difficulty that comes, thinking, God hates me, why me all the time? There's people who misinterpret these things and it makes it even worse than it is. He said, no, open up your heart to it. These are something that twists of time will occur all the time. They're multiple. فَيَوْمًا تَرَى عُسْرًا, because one day you're going to see a difficulty. وَيَوْمًا تَرَى يُسْرًا, on another day you'll see ease. In the مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا ثُمَّ إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Both of these things are what's going to happen to you. So that's a bit on a different tone, that prepare for the difficulties, because they will come. Just do your best and get through them. So then he says that anybody who stays and who gets excited by the apparent nature of the dunya, then the internal aspect of the dunya will say to him, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ غِرَّةٌ فَلَا تَغْتَرْ. We're just a deception, do not be deceived. That is why he says in the next half, he said that, إِنْ دَعَاكَ إِلَيْهَا ظَاهِرٌ نَهَاكَ عَنْهَا بَاطِنٌ. If the exterior of the dunya invited you, then the interior should hold you back. If it doesn't hold you back right now, it will hold you back afterwards. Meaning it will push you away afterwards when you realize the difficulty of this. And, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of positions in this world that when you get into it, then you find out how messed up it is inside. The more you get into it, then you find out how corrupt it is. The more you get into business, the more you find out how corrupt you have to get into it. The more you get into any industry, unless it's a pure industry, right? That's why even people who get into, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I wish I don't have to say this, but even people who get into assisting in a masjid that is run for the sake of the dunya. The masjid is not the dunya. But the people there, they don't have ikhlas and sincerity, then it's a political quagmire that a person has to get into. He wants to do khidmah, but he sees politics. He sees problems. He's supposed to be doing something for the sake of Allah. So even something like an organization that is a dawah organization, but when we're doing it for the dunya, though it has a dini purpose, but we're doing it for the dunya, Allah protect us, even that becomes problematic for everybody. That's why he says that the dunya, and this is a beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari that explains this as well, that the dunya looks so fresh and so sweet. So, you know, in the past, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, because there was no gadgets, there were no sleek gadgets. That which you were excited by were clothing. So he talked about wonderful shawls and sheets and garments. And he talked about beautiful crops. So it's all so sweet and so fresh and so green and so vigorous, and it excites you. MashaAllah, I've got this lush, this whole lush orchard. It belongs to me. How much money, how much excitement I'm going to have. And then he said, all of that just eventually gets destroyed. وَبَاطِنُهَا خَبِيثَةٌ مُرَّةٌ. But eventually all of it will become bitter and withered and soiled. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الدُّنْيَا خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَةٌ. The dunya is green, fresh, green and sweet. وَإِنَّ مِمَّا يُنْبِتُ الرَّبِيءُ مَا يَقْتُلْ أَوْ يُلِمُّ حَبَطًا. It's a bit of a complex narration. But he says that among all of this these vibrant crops and green, fresh vegetation that the spring brings to you, some of it will be killers. Not because of inherent nature of being poisonous or something. No. But there's some animals, that the hadith goes on to explain that there's some animals, they get so excited by this, that they just keep eating. After a whole drought or a whole dull winter, where there's not been much food, now mashallah, there's just food all over the place. Lush grass, lush vegetation. So they start eating. They don't take time to, literally the hadith says, they don't take time to let it digest properly. They just eat, stuff their stomachs, and that kills the animal. There's some animals that are like that. And then he says that there's other animals that take what they need, they relax, they go and do their thing, they go and relieve themselves, they don't have indigestion, they actually digest their food, they relieve themselves, and they come back to eat. So literally saying that that's how you should be with the world, rather than just trying to indulge and stuff your stomach. Because eventually, that same dunya, that same beautiful food that you stuffed your stomach with, is going to cause you stomach problems. That's what everything else does in this world. It causes us problems. There are some, one of the wise sages, he stated a resemblance. He compared the dunya with seven things. Number one, he said the dunya is like very, very salty water, which will just cause you to drown. Like the sea, it's just going to cause you to drown. If you're in the middle of all of this expanse of water and you need water, there's no fresh water, that's going to cause you to drown. It's going to kill you. There's too much salt. It's not fresh water. So it can only harm you. He says the dunya, if you treat it that way, it's only harm you. It can't benefit you. Again, these are just some extreme statements about the dunya just to turn people away. Otherwise, we need the dunya in the right way. So don't get a misunderstanding that this is like just completely condemning the dunya. It's condemning a particular way that we look at the dunya and what we end up doing with it. Then he says, so likewise, the dunya will cause you, just in the same way, it will cause you to drown in it, out of your love for it. And then a person will die, even though they'll be thirsty. They won't be able to get enough because you're so thirsty for this dunya, nothing's going to fill your stomach with it. You just want more and more and more and more. You don't know when to say no. You don't know when to say stop. You don't know when to say it's enough, even though it's enough. The next one, he says that it is just like the shade of a cloud. Not the shade of anything fixed, but the shade of a cloud. It deceives you to think that you're in a cloud. You relax down and then the cloud's gone. So then you have to move on again. You have to get shade somewhere else. In fact, it humiliates you because when people are watching that, you've set yourself up there. Right? And then suddenly it's gone. You have to move everything. Ya Allah. So, the same way the dunya is with you. Then he said that the dunya is like lightning. It's like intense lightning. In the way it comes and goes so fast. And then he added a number of other ideas. I'm not going to go in through all of them. But he said it's like a dream. It's like, because when you wake up from dream, there's nothing. So likewise, the dunya, you're going to indulge in it. And then when you wake up for it in the hereafter, there's going to be nothing. When we're woken up from the dream of this world. Likewise, he said it's like honey that is mixed with poison. It's poisonous honey. So enjoyable, you want it. But then you find out that it's very, very harmful for you and it kills you. His nephew, the person who said this, his nephew says that I, for a very, very long time, I considered all of these things and then I thought, That is one more thing that I have to add to it. He said that I compare this dunya to a ghost, a ghoul. That's what he said, literally, that's what he said. That anybody who goes after it, he will perish, it will kill it. And if you avoid it, and you try to stay away from any of these weird things, you're safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us some understanding. Again, the idea of this is not to trash the dunya to such a level that it has no benefit at all. More so, what it's really doing is our obsession with it. That's what's blameworthy. It's the obsession with the dunya. The dunya is a neutral place. The dunya has its good and bad, but it's a neutral place. It's how we treat it, how we try to acquire it, how we indulge in it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to satisfy ourselves with the halal, with the beneficial, and with what's worthy and healthy of it, and allow us to stay away from any of the harms of it, and make us satisfied. That's ultimately satisfaction, and qana'ah is the most important thing in all of this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the author. So Sheikh Abdullah Gangohi, who writes in the commentary, says, initially, the pomp and pleasure of the worldly kingdom appear magnificent and pleasing. Those who possess such wealth appear honorable and noble in the estimate of others. Even their own egos bask in delight. This initial pomp draws people into trying to acquire the wealth of the world. Ultimately, however, the result is that the owner is either dismissed during his lifetime or is separated from it by death. When dismissed, an ex-ruler will be overwhelmed with grief. You think that prime minister that was deposed, you think she doesn't have grief? That she doesn't have access to what she had before? And all of these other guys that get deposed? Right? Allah protect us. Allah protect us. When such a person is separated from their kingdom by death or by being deposed, sorrow will be their lot on account of their oppression and denial of the rights of people. Thus sorrow and regret will be their end. It's not a good way to go. When thousands of people, in fact, millions of people think you're an oppressor. What kind of forgiveness are you going to get on the Day of Judgment? This regrettable end will disenchant him from his worldly kingdom. But by then it may be too late. While the outer form of the worldly kingdom is alluring with its ranks, wealth and comforts, its inner reality diverts man from the invocation of Allah Most High. It is therefore absolutely disastrous for one's happiness and success in the next world. The ultimate fate of the worldly kingdom should thus prevent one from hankering after it. The intelligent man is far-sighted. He is not deceived by the external facade of anything. His sight is set on reality and the ultimate result. Be realistic, essentially what he's saying. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا هداة لمن اهتدى Allah have mercy on this ummah. Ya Allah, we ask you for your acceptance, for whatever little we can offer you. Ya Allah, this comes from you. You have accepted us to even be sitting here in this masjid today, to be doing this dhikr, Ya Allah. We thank you for this, Ya Allah. We praise you for this. All praise is due to you, Ya Allah. We can't do enough shukr for whatever you have given us. Ya Allah, above us, above that, you have given us Islam, you have given us Iman. Ya Allah, give us ihsan. Ya Allah, give us a good understanding of our faith. Ya Allah, give us ilm nafi'. Ya Allah, give us amal salih. Ya Allah, give us accepted actions, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow us to see through whatever is being placed in front of us, Ya Allah. Protect us from the corruption and the facade and the difficulties of this world, Ya Allah. O Allah, allow us to get ourselves connected to those things which will remain forever. O Allah, allow us to do whatever we do in a functional and practical way. O Allah, protect us from being overindulgent, Ya Allah. Protect us from being obsessive, Ya Allah. Protect us from all forms of haram and from all forms of wrong and blameworthy traits. O Allah, however tempting they may seem, however much they may attract us, Ya Allah. O Allah, assist us in not just for ourselves, but assist us for all those we are responsible for our parents, Ya Allah, for our family members, for our children, and for our descendants until the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, we will pass by through this world, but oh Allah, whatever is associated with us, oh Allah, make it good, Ya Allah. Whatever we leave in this world that is associated with us, oh Allah, make it praiseworthy and make it beneficial. And those things that we'll take with us from this world, oh Allah, make them certainly praiseworthy and beneficial for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not allow us to suffer from the loss. Oh Allah, do not allow us to get excited by the vigor and the freshness of things as we see them. Allow us to understand what they are for and what the purpose is, and allow us to use them correctly. Like Umar radiallahu anhu said, that you have given us all of this wealth, Ya Allah, all of this access to these resources, O Allah. Now allow us to fulfill their rights. O Allah, do not allow us to fall within any of its temptations and any of its mischiefs, Ya Allah. O Allah, assist our brothers and sisters wherever they are in this world, especially those who are suffering, Ya Allah, who are suffering and continue to suffer. O Allah, you have your own wisdom about these things. But O Allah, show us, Ya Allah, show us, and Ya Allah, show us some happiness with regards to these things. And O Allah, allow them to get much better than what they have lost, Ya Allah. O Allah, destroy all those who seek to destroy us. Oh Allah, destroy all of those, oh Allah, destroy all of those who seek to destroy us, and allow their plots and their ploys to come back into their faces, Ya Allah. We believe that this is what's going to happen, Ya Allah. Allow this to happen, Ya Allah. Allow this to happen. Oh Allah, give satisfaction and happiness to all of those who are crying. Oh Allah, all those who are miserable, Ya Allah, who have lost, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant them much better than what they have lost. And O Allah, assist us all in doing that which is practical and beneficial and functional and useful. Ya Allah, make us beneficial beings. Grant us good health. O Allah, there are many widespread, O Allah, evil diseases. Ya Allah, serious diseases. O Allah, there's been an increase in these. O Allah, protect us all from them, from all forms of debilitating disease. Ya Allah, grant us afiyah. Those who are sick, O Allah, remove their sickness. Grant them a cure. Grant them well-being, Ya Allah. And those who have died, O Allah, grant them a high state, O Allah. From our loved ones, O Allah, grant them forgiveness. Grant them blessing, raised status, and O Allah, closeness to you in the hereafter. Grant us company of your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter, and closeness to his sunnah in this world. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وَسَلَامٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.